Hello, dear listener, and welcome to Spiritual Balance Podcast. My name is Joy, and I'm also the author of the book, Spiritual Balance. Through this podcast, I'm bringing you the content of my book. Every episode will cover a new topic. In our previous episode, we looked at dealing with accusations. Today, we shall look at the meaning of the prayer of grace, and we shall start with godliness as the first aspect of the grace. After God had created man, they had a good relationship until sin entered the world and separated man from God. God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit used to dwell together in heaven. To restore the relationship between God and man, Jesus and Holy Spirit had a dialogue. They agreed that Jesus would be sent to the world in form of man and die on the cross for the sins of man. After his death, resurrection, and going back to heaven, the Holy Spirit will be sent to remain with man to comfort, empower, transform him in preparation for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Son of God, who had no sin, had to be born in Bethlehem through Virgin Mary. He had no special place to be born but in a cowshed. Jesus was born and grew amid man. He was baptized and received the Holy Spirit. Everywhere he went, he did well. His life was full of godliness, humility, and patience. Even during his persecutions, he kept quiet. Before the birth of Jesus, man lived under the law. Every sin man committed was to be punished immediately according to how the law had spelled it out. To avoid the consequences, animals were slaughtered, more often for the cleansing of sins. When Jesus died on the cross for our sins, his blood was shed once and for all for the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus resurrected after 3 days and went to hell and took from Satan the keys of grace and forgiveness and went to heaven, meaning we are no longer operating under law but under grace. Jesus is grace. Grace means humility, godliness, and patience, which were the attributes of Jesus while he lived on earth. These are attributes you should emulate in your walk with Christ as a true believer. As you walk under godliness, humility, and patience, in case you commit any sin, you need not to go slaughter animals for the cleansing of your sins and to live in guilt and hopelessness, but to simply reach out to Jesus and repent by confessing your sins and turning away from them. Once you repent, he will forgive you from all your unrighteousness and throw your sins in the sea of forgetfulness. The blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross for your sins restored your relationship with God. Now that you understand the meaning of grace, this is what the prayer of grace means. It is found in 2 Corinthians 13:14. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Jesus was full of grace, and that is godliness, humility, and patience. God is love. Holy Spirit dwells in you. He fellowships with you by guiding, leading, and instructing you. As a true believer waiting for the coming of your Lord Jesus Christ to spend time with him in eternity, you need to live in godliness, patience, and humility. Love everyone as God loves you and fellowship with the Holy Spirit, your comforter, that Jesus left with you. He is your companion because he dwells in you. You need to reach that level where you can chat and interact with him freely without a doubt so that you get instructions, guidance, and direction. Let us look at grace, which is godliness, patience, and humility. And first of all, let us start with godliness. Give your body as a living sacrifice. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You need to take care of it by choosing carefully what you eat. Keep it clean. Avoid being compromised by the desires of the flesh, such as greed, lust, excess sleep, among others. However, this is not enough. When Paul said, "You give your body as a living sacrifice," he meant getting ready to be persecuted for the sake of Christ. In your persecution, you should keep silent and not revenge and continue holding on to your faith. Romans 12:1 says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Choose godly friends. As a true believer, your character can be easily influenced by the people you interact with very often, especially for those who are still growing in faith. A stable believer cannot be easily influenced by any character. He or she has already made up his or her mind to follow Jesus Christ without turning back. The more you relate with non-believers or negative people, the more you expose your spiritual body to attacks. Learn to relate with people who are higher than you in anointing so that you can benefit from them and become better. In addition to choosing godly friends, learn to meditate on the laws of God to grow in faith. The Word of God says in Psalms 1:1-3, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the laws of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prospers." And godliness number two, do not love money. Money is good. You need money to build churches, spread the gospel, and do other projects in your life. However, love for money is the problem. When God allows money to come in your hands, the money should not stay with you. You are only a channel through which money needs to flow to other avenues. You need to give all the biblical offerings needed, build altars for God, be a blessing to others as you use it to accomplish what you need to accomplish in your life. When you start loving money, you start accumulating it so that you become wealthy. You end up ignoring church projects, the poor, orphans, widows, servants of God, or even your relatives. Love for money can make you forget God and engage so much in creating wealth. It might also attract vices such as bribing and corruption. The Word of God says in 1 Timothy 6:10, "For the love of money is the root of all kind of evil, and some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows." Next, obey your parents. The foundation of all other blessings in your life starts from honoring your parents. God cannot bless you when you have neglected your parents and have no respect for them. The Word of God promises you long and good life if you respect your parents. Living well means you are blessed, fruitful, peaceful, happy, no lack, you are healthy, etc. You cannot call yourself a true believer if you have neglected your relatives. Colossians 5:20 says, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." Next, remember the orphans and widows. Our God has a special place in his heart for the widows and orphans. Honoring them and helping them in their afflictions is what is required of you and is what true religion is all about. This honor needs to be extended to others such as the poor, strangers, and the oppressed. When you honor them, God has promised to reward you. Bless the work of your hands and ensure you do not lack. Godliness is about being a blessing to this kind of people. When you bless them, you are blessing God, and he alone will reward you. James 1:27 says, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." Next, dead to flesh. God dislikes the physical body. It is made of flesh and blood. This is because it is hostile to God and the things of the Spirit. The physical body craves the desires of the flesh. To walk in godliness, you need to die to the flesh. You need to have self-control over anger, jealousy, greed, lust, pride, and other feelings that embrace the flesh, and allow Jesus to have control over your life. Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself to me." Next, be prayerful. You cannot claim to be godly as you sit and watch things go wrong in your society. You understand that prayer changes situations. As a true believer, God wants you to pray for all people, those in authority, in your workplace, your family members, neighbors, etc., so that you can dwell in peace. Do not be selfish and only mindful of yourself and your family. When you pray for others, God answers your prayers as well. 1 Timothy 2:1-2 says, I urge them, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peacefully and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. The above are some of the ways of practicing godliness. When you train yourselves to live a godly life, you shall enjoy peace here on earth and enjoy eternity with Jesus. 1 Timothy 4:7-8 says, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. I hope you enjoyed this part of my book. If you found it helpful, please send me a message and let me know. In our next episode, we shall look at patience as the second aspect of grace. God bless you. Hello, dear listener, and welcome to Spiritual Balance Podcast. My name is Joy, and I'm also the author of the book Spiritual Balance. Through this podcast, I'm bringing you the content of my book. Every episode will cover a new topic. In our previous episode, we looked at godliness as an aspect of grace. Today, we shall look at patience as another aspect of grace. Patience. When Jesus resurrected, he went back to the Father. God and Jesus are seated in heaven. However, he left you with a comforter, the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit, as seen earlier, is to empower and transform a true believer as he prepares him or her for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit dwells inside you. He connects you with God. He is your intercessor. He prays for you to God the Father according to God's will. He guides, instructs, strengthens, and convicts you of sin. His mission is to bear fruit in you. Part of this fruit is patience. You cannot say the Holy Spirit is at work in your life if you do not have patience. Galatians 5:22-23 says, but the Holy Spirit produces the kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. It is normal for everyone to want to see results after accomplishing a task. You want God to answer your prayers immediately you start a business and you want to become a millionaire in 1 year. You are on a program of losing weight and you want to see results after a few days. Learn from a farmer. He starts by preparing the land. He then waits for the rainy season for him to plant. After planting, he waits for the crops to grow up to a particular height and then he weeds. He weeds even the second time to ensure the crops get enough food from the soil. He goes ahead to apply manure. He erects scarecrows in his chamber to protect the crops from being destroyed by the birds and animals. He then waits for them to be ready. Then during the dry season, he harvests. The process doesn't stop there. He goes on to dry the seeds, remove dirt, preserves them in stores as he counts his profit. The farmer practices patience from the time he plants until he harvests. Even as he waits, there are some duties he performs as he waits for a good harvest. Without patience, you cannot achieve what you want. Your focus should be on the end product and not the duration. Ecclesiastes 7:8 says, the end of a matter is better than its beginning, and patience is better than pride. Next, God, our role model. You are created in the image and likeness of God. Your God is patient. You need to emulate his character. You make mistakes often, but he is patient with you. He is so merciful and gives you time to realize you are on the wrong track, then allows you to repent and take the right track. He is slow to anger and full of compassion. If God is patient with you, practice patience in all that you do. The word of God says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want everyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. Jesus is a perfect example. Jesus is also a perfect example. He was the Son of God, but he went through tribulations. Through all the tribulations and even on the cross, he was patient. Jesus understood the joy that awaited him after the cross. His mission of restoring the relationship between God and man could not be achieved without going through the cross. Hebrews 12:2 says, "We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne." Patience in pursuit of destiny. You have been called to fulfill God's purpose for your life. However, to fulfill this purpose, there is a process. The process requires patience. This purpose is supposed to glorify God. The process works on your integrity so that in the end you receive not just success but true success. Many people have a vision for their lives, but they want to achieve it tomorrow. So long as you are in the will of God, the vision has to start cooking spiritually before it is turned into physical. The vision has to go through a process. Write the vision down, endure the process, and it will surely come to pass. Habakkuk 2:3 says, "This vision is for a future time. It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed." Patience in tribulation. In your Christian walk, you will go through persecutions and tribulations. Jesus went through the same, and he promised not to be a faint-hearted because he has overcome. Jesus understands the pain you go through when you encounter persecutions because he was once there. He goes on to give you hope that it does not matter the number of persecutions you encounter, God will deliver you from them all. John 16:33 says, "I have told you all time, so you may have peace in me." Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. Psalms 34:19 also tells us, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." Practice patience in your Christian walk, knowing that God will surely deliver you and you shall rejoice. Do not get tired of prayer. Every time you appear before God in prayer, your strength increases. This strength will carry you through as you wait on the faithfulness of God. Romans 12:12 says, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer." Patience with God. As you wait on God in prayer, the devil will accuse God to you so that you give up on him. Your God is faithful. Whatever you ask in prayer, believing you receive. He answers you at the right time and according to his will. Be firm in faith until you see what you hope for. You need not to be challenged by those who are prospering through ungodly means. Your blessing shall surely come and it will last forever. Your thoughts are not God's thoughts, but he has good plans for you. He can make a way where there is no way. His timing is not your timing. He is a restorer. Whatever you wanted to achieve in 5 years, when he shows up, he can make it to pass in months. Be patient with your Father in heaven. 2 Peter 3:8 says, "But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day." Patience with each other. God is love. You cannot claim to have God when his love is not in you. As you interact with one another in your family, neighborhood, and even place of work, show love. They may wrong you, but remember, love is patient. Deal with the idle, faint-hearted, weak, angry, and many others among you with all humility and gentleness. Listen more and mind what you speak so that you don't vex each other's spirits. Above all, rebuke each other with love. When you are asked for mercy, forgive as your God in heaven forgives you. Colossians 3:13 says, "Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others." Patience in doing good. Everywhere Jesus went, he did good. Do not get tired of doing good. You need to do it cheerfully, willingly, and sacrificially. Anything you do for the kingdom of God will never go in vain. Do not get weary, but be courageous in every good work you do, for at the right time, you shall be rewarded. Galatians 6:9 says, "So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the same time, the right time, we'll reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. I hope you enjoyed this part of my book. If you found it helpful, please send me a message and let me know. In our next episode, we shall look at humility as the third aspect of grace. God bless you. Hello, dear listener, and welcome to Spiritual Balance Podcast. My name is Joy, and I'm also the author of the book Spiritual Balance. Through this podcast, I'm bringing you the content of my book. Every episode will cover a new topic. In our previous episode, we looked at patience as an aspect of grace. Today, we shall look at humility as the third aspect of grace. Humility. Jesus is the Son of God, but during his stay on earth, he walked in humility. He had all the power to command situations to operate according to his interests all the time. But he humbled himself. On the cross and even at the point of death, he remained obedient. He wants you to learn from him by walking in humility so that you can enjoy peace. Matthew 11:29-30 says, "Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you. Let me teach you because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." God uses the humble and lowly because he knows they will not boast and take the glory, but remember, it's not about them but God. Jesus, our Savior, was born in Bethlehem, Judea. This is one of the least tribes in Jerusalem. Gideon was used by God, yet he came from the weakest clan in Manasseh, and he was the least in his family. The word of God says in Judges 6:15, "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in the family." Moses was a stammerer. He was rejected by the Israelites, yet he was used to save them from Egypt. Acts 7:35 says, "This is the same Moses they had rejected with the words, 'Who made you ruler and judge?' He was sent to be their ruler and deliverer by God himself through the angel who appeared to him in the bush." Moses was used by God because he was obedient and humble. God cannot use you and glorify himself in your life if you lack humility. Numbers 12:3 says, "Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth." How do you walk in humility? First, be prayerful. Proud people do not pray. They start projects and meetings without involving God. After they get the victory, they do not return to give thanks. They believe in their hearts it is their wisdom, money, and their ability that has led to what they are. Seeking the way of God means you depend on him and you cannot run the race alone. When you be humble yourself in prayer, he shows himself mighty in your situations and you prosper in everything that you do. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land." Almighty God looks at your motive behind before he answers your prayers. Even as you appear before him in prayer, let your motive be according to his will. Ecclesiastes 5:2 says, "Don't make harsh promises and don't be hasty in bringing matters before God. After all, God is in heaven and you are on earth, so let your words be few." Next, serve in humility. Every work in your hands that God has blessed you to do does not service unto man, but also unto God. You have been given different gifts and talents. As you use them, do so in humility. Just because you are talented and gifted in an area doesn't mean those without that gift are less important. They have their talents and gifts too. Serve God and one another using these gifts and talents, but with humility. James 3:13 says, "If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom." Next, avoid rivalry. You are unique in your ways. Just the way your name and physical features are different from each other, God's purpose for your life is not the same purpose He has for others. You have been called in various ways to fulfill destiny. God has given you a gift different from other people. Do not compete with others. Become jealousy, envious, and when you see others prosper, you need to stick to your lane, know your purpose, and use what you have been given to achieve your purpose. You need not to compete with others, but with yourself. Competing with yourself is setting your goals in everything you do to make progress. When others excel in their field, rejoice with them as you pursue your destiny. Do it in humility and avoid rivalry. Philippians 2:3 says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value yourselves above others." As you excel in the areas God has purposed for you, give all the glory to God and not boast in your wisdom and glory. Do not look for praise in people. Value and believe in yourself. The word of God says in Proverbs 27, to let someone else praise you and not your own mouth, an outsider and not your own lips. Next, treat others well. As you relate with others in your workplace, family, and even neighborhood, do it with humility. The disadvantaged in society need someone who can reach out to them and show them they are of value. Do not associate only with the rich and wealthy, but also with the poor, the widows, the orphans, those in prison. When you associate with the needy, announce not to the world. If you do this, you will miss your reward from God. What your right hand gives, your left hand shall not know, but only God. As a child of God, show love to everyone regardless of their age, tribe, or social status. In your conversations, remain gentle and respect each other. Ephesians 4:31 to 32 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Next, serve others. We all desire to be great, highly honored and respected. The road to greatness is service. Many people want to be served but are not ready to serve. Serve God and serve others too. Jesus was the Son of God, but throughout His stay on earth, He served. He went everywhere doing good and washed His disciples' feet. The more you serve God and your brethren, the more God lifts you. The word of God says in Mark 9:35, sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. Next, learn to listen. Learning does not end when you graduate from college or university. Learning is a lifelong process. A mature person does not get tired of learning. He or she does not know it all. Every day is a learning day. You cannot learn without listening. For you to learn, you need to be a good listener. Listen to everyone, even the young ones. Out of the many words one speaks, you cannot fail to identify a few words that will bless your heart. Do not judge nor condemn others, but learn from their mistakes and strength. Only fools think they know it all. Aspire to be a good listener. Proverbs 12:15 tells us, the way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Next, honor the elderly. Anyone the age of your parents needs to be treated the same way you treat your parents. The elderly in your neighborhood, family, place of work, and everywhere you go need to be talked to with respect and offer the help they deserve. You can visit their homes and be a blessing to them. The word of God says in 1 Peter 5:5, in the same way you are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Honor should not only be shown to the elderly but all men. For Peter 2:17 says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. As a true believer, walk the journey of salvation with fear and trembling. If you engage in sin and don't walk in godliness, humility, patience, and forgiveness, God will deliver you in the hands of the enemy. God loved Israel, and every time the enemy planned to attack them, God revealed it to His servant Elisha, and the king of Israel was warned. However, when Israel ignored the mercies and godliness of God over their lives and decided to walk in disobedience, God allowed famine in their land to the extent that they had nothing to eat but their children, dove's dung, and heads of asses. The word of God says in the book of 2 Kings 6, 24 to 33, this is what happened. Sometime later, however, King Ben-Hadad of Aram mustered his entire army and besieged Samaria. As a result, there was a great famine in the city. The siege lasted so long that a donkey's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver, and a cup of dove's dung sold for 5 pieces of silver. One day, as the king of Israel was walking along the wall of the city, a woman called to him, "Please help me, my lord the king." He answered, "If the Lord doesn't help you, what can I do? I have neither food from the threshing floor nor wine from the press to give you." But then the king asked, "What is the matter?" She replied, "This woman said to me, 'Come on, let's eat your son today, then we'll eat my son tomorrow.' So we cooked my son and ate him. The next day I said to her, 'Kill your son so that we can eat him,' but she has hidden her son." When the king heard this, he tore his clothes in despair. And as the king walked along the wall, the people would see what he was wearing ball up under his robe next to his skin. "May God strike me and even kill me if I don't separate Elisha's head from his shoulder this very day," the king vowed. Elisha was sitting in his house with the elders of Israel when the king sent a messenger to summon him. But before the messenger arrived, Elisha said to the elders, "A murderer has sent a man to cut off my head. When he arrives, shut the door and keep him out. We will soon hear his master's steps following him." While Elisha was still saying this, the messenger arrived, and the king said, "All this misery is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer? When grace, that is godliness, patience, and humility, and forgiveness lacks in your family, trouble sets in, and people start behaving like animals. You hear of people killing their family members and committing suicide thereafter. As a true Christian, as you wait for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, practice grace and forgiveness. Thank you, and God bless you."